The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Kelce and another offensive starter went to Doug Peterson to ask him why he had pulled the starting quarterback of the Eagles trailing by only three. Anyway, supposed to have Stephen A. Smith coming up because the debut of Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus is happening today. And yet, we're having so many audio difficulties today that I don't know if we're going to be able to do that. Raj is telling me we can do it, but I'm telling you, Raj, that the connection that we're trying to use just failed. So I'm trying this again. Oh, now I hear Stephen A. Are you there?
I'm here, man. What's going on, bro?
Oh, we're having all kinds of technical difficulties right now, but for Stephen A. Smith, yes, I can. It's all happening on my end. But for Stephen A. Smith, we're gonna slog through to make sure to get you on. So the debut of Stephen A.'s World on ESPN Plus. Tell me all about it.
Well, that's a week. January 11th. It's coming Monday. It's going to be on ESPN Plus. It's a half hour show every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Not only am I the host of it, I'm the executive producer of it. And my production company, Mr. SAS Productions, is going to be co-producing this in concert with ESPN. So I'm incredibly excited because it's my first foray into that realm. And essentially, you know what? It's not going to be the Max Kellerman. It's not going to be the Stephen A. Max Kellerman sees every day, at least totally. I mean, I'm going to do what I do, but I definitely want to be a little bit more lighthearted with it and all of that stuff. I mean, I have aspirations to one day do late night television. It's something that I've always dreamed about doing and what have you. And so just to celebrate other people, to celebrate what they're doing, to have some fun, not that we don't have fun on First Take because we do every day, but I'm just talking about just bringing considerably more levity to the situation and just, you know, doing things on a lighthearted level to some degree. You're going to see baby Stephen A. up in there. You're going to see the Love Doc up in there. You're going to see a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm just looking forward to having some fun, man.
Yeah, look, I know, I got you. This is Max on Radio is different than Max on First Take, because radio or your own show on ESPN Plus, you can do your thing. You can give a side of yourself that people don't always see. So that's going to be very interesting. ESPN Plus a week from today or a week from yesterday?
A week from yesterday. It's going to debut Monday, January 11th.
So Monday it debuts, this upcoming Monday. Meantime, Stephen A., you and I were going at it about Joe Judge and the Eagles tanking.
Right.
Will you state your absurd positions so my radio audience can hear what we're arguing about?
Well, first of all, I leave the absurd opinions to you because we both know that I'm far more sensible than you. You're far more cerebral. Here's the reality of the situation. Neither of us disagree about what we saw Doug Peterson would do with the Eagles. It was reprehensible. We don't like it. You and I have a difference of opinion because I don't think he should be fired. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's taken them to the playoffs the last 3 years. It's the first time they're missing the playoffs in 4 years. I think that you grant him an opportunity to correct the error of his ways and bring him back. Where we adamantly disagree or vehemently disagree is when I talked about Joe Judge saying what he said about the Eagles. I think he needs to be quiet. I think all members of the New York Giants need to be quiet. If Max Kellerman wants to take that position and voice his opinion, sure. I want to do it, sure. Other NFL aficionados, hell, even other members of other teams, fine, go ahead and do it. But for you, as the coach of the New York Giants, to have a 5-7 record after week 12, to be in first place, completely in control of your own destiny in the NFC East, and then you lose 3 games in a row, scoring a grand total of 26 points over 3 weeks, all ending up in losses. You don't have any business saying anything or coming across as pointing a finger at anybody for what your failings were. You had an opportunity for the Eagles' outcome against the Washington football team to not matter to you at all. But you didn't handle your business when you had an opportunity to do so prior to Sunday. You brought that on yourself. And I side with Michael Irvin. Shut up.
Look, I understand.
Shut up. You lost, and that's it.
Look, I understand what you mean about it. Just not going to, the appearance isn't going to be good, right? If for Joe Judge to do it because he's the Giants coach. But Stephen A., frequently at the end of a season, a game where a team can play spoiler doesn't really affect that team, but it can affect the divisional rival. It can affect the fans' viewing experience, right? That's why they flex the game to primetime. So is your argument that Joe Judge doesn't have a case, or it shouldn't come from Joe Judge?
My argument is that it shouldn't come from Joe Judge, period. Is that that's it. Nothing more than that. I'm not saying his argument is invalid. I'm saying it shouldn't come from him.
All right. Meantime, so we disagree about that, but I get your point. I get your point. Where do you think Bieniemy should go?
I got to tell you, Max, I was initially thinking the Chargers like you because of Justin Herbert. But if he's got a chance to go join forces with Deshaun Watson, I can't ignore that, bro. Even you yourself said, when I gave you my top five MVP list, you actually tried to make a case for Deshaun Watson, whose team was 4-12. You know how great you have to be considered for MVP honors when your team is 4-12? But that's what you said about Deshaun Watson. Yeah, that speaks to his greatness. Yeah, I mean, and when you have that level of greatness, I don't give a damn what you see from Justin Herbert. Tell me something you see from Justin Herbert that you haven't seen from Deshaun Watson. I'm a roll with that.
You ain't lying. I mean, Deshaun, here's why I like the Chargers still. You're in L.A., and so you're you're in the best place to be, basically, and it's in a way low pressure. Like, you have a great young quarterback. If Trevor Lawrence turns out to be as good as Herbert, we're going to say, wow, he fulfilled his potential. So you already got that guy. You have talent on both sides of the ball. You're in la-la land, and yet all eyes are on the Chargers. People are thinking about the Trojans. People are even thinking about the Raiders before they're thinking about you. So it's somehow all the good things without the bad things. I still like the Chargers, but Deshaun Watson has been unbelievable this season.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you like Bieniemy and you respect Bieniemy and you want a great opportunity for Bieniemy, why would you want to send him into football purgatory? The Chargers barely have a home. Nobody cares about them in Los Angeles. Most people wish that they go back to San Diego because that's where they're beloved. They just didn't want to sit up there and spend the funds to build a new stadium. But the reality of the situation, that's the only place they have fans. You don't find Chargers fans anywhere else in the country. Nobody particularly cares about them.
You don't really.
They're
going
to care about
San Diego,
the Rams.
Yeah.
They're going to care about the Raiders. Why would you want Bieniemy to be there? I could see if they were back in San Diego. But since that's not the case, why in God's name would we want to wish that on Bieniemy?
Meantime, we haven't even argued about this on the air yet, so we're gonna, you know, we'll do it on First Take. I'll bet you this week at some point. So I'm gonna leave the Patrick Mahomes stuff alone for a second. Who do you think can beat the Chiefs?
I think the only team that's really got a shot is Green Bay or Tampa Bay. Those are the only, I don't think anybody in the AFC has a shot at beating Kansas City. Not a real shot. And I think in the NFC, because if Tom Brady gets hotter and Aaron Rodgers continues to do what he's doing, they got a shot. That's it.
Not the Bills. You don't like the Bills?
No. Stephon Diggs is a stud. Josh Allen is a stud. But a two-headed monster ain't going to get it done against Kansas City. You need more.
Now listen, Stephen A. Smith, you hear Stephen A. Smith and you start thinking basketball. And we you know, I mocked you and Molly because you both were thinking that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were going to wind up on the Knicks and they wound up with Julius Randle. But you were on First Take today lauding Julius Randle and R.J. Barrett and Quickley and all these guys on the Knicks. You think New York should be excited about the Knicks right now?
I think New York should be excited about the Knicks only from the standpoint of looking at them and saying, okay, this isn't the same team. This isn't the same deplorable, lackluster, dysfunctional bunch that has contaminated our television sets and every crevice of New York City for the better part of the last decade. It's a new day. I think you got a coach in Tom Thibodeau that lives, eats, and breathes basketball. I think you have somebody that's fixated on being competitive, that is going to have a top five defense, that's going to have you playing with energy and fervor practically every single night. Whether or not that lasts remains to be seen, and we understand that. But I think because the Knicks are devoid of stars, you can go deep and you can just throw fresh legs out there, which will enable you to compete on a different level than you've been competing. And as a result, we'll look at the Knicks. I think they've got a chance to be a 500 team in a 72-game season. I think they got a chance to go 36-36. That can lead you to making the playoffs on the back end. And if you're going and if your competition is a team in Brooklyn that has championship expectations, the pressure will be on them to get to the finals. The pressure's on you just to be relevant and respectable. That would be an upside of something to cheer about with the New York Knicks, which I don't think is a bad thing.
Stephen A., meantime, I know you love the fight game. Ryan Garcia knocked out Luke Campbell over the weekend. And the lightweight division's very hot right now. And, of course, because of promotional and network issues, he doesn't try to call out Teofimo Lopez, the lightweight kingpin, the champ, who knows how long Lopez will stay at lightweight. But he did call out Tank Davis, and Devin Haney was there. How do you like Garcia's chances against Tank and Devin?
Well, first of all, I think that Ryan Garcia's quickness, he's got lightning speed in both hands, and I like that. I definitely think he's good as an offensive fighter. He's great. He's undefeated, with more than 80% of his knockouts. We get all of that. Tank Davis is no joke, man. This dude is a rough rider. And if he's willing to trade punches with you and he catches you, we saw Luke Campbell drop Garcia. And Garcia, if he wasn't completely hurt, he definitely was stunned. And I think that if somebody like Tank Davis had him in that kind of position, I question whether or not he would have been able to get out of that round. So I'm paying attention to that as well. I like Haney a lot, too. But I do want to see Davis against Garcia because Garcia has been calling him out. And that's something that needs to happen. And I need to see Tank Davis in a big fight, not going up against somebody who moves up two weight classes to go at him. I believe in the kid. I believe in his power. I believe in his heart. But I want to see him against somebody his own size or bigger to really justify and validate that level of power we've seen him exhibit. In the end, it's a fight that I love to see. I can't count Tank Davis out against anybody. Don't even mind if he's the favorite. Tell you that Ryan Garcia does look special. He does look special.
You're right. By the way, you count out Tank Davis, you might be getting counted out because Tank can punch.
Right.
He's got a lot of talent. And Stephen A., I saw you tweeting about Chris Colbert at junior lightweight. Shakur Stevenson now moved up to that division. There's Brandon Lee at junior welterweight. I mean, this 130 to 140 pounds, really 135 pound division is smoking right now. Smoking.
Is
Colbert your favorite?
Shakur Stevenson. Yes, he is. Colbert is my favorite. I like Colbert a lot. I think he's got a lot of Floyd Money Mayweather in him in terms of boxing ability. I question his power, even though he finished that dude, really picked him apart and dropped him about three times and finished him off in the 11th round, if I remember correctly. But if this kid had knockout power, and I understand he's fresh off a knockout, but his knockout percentage is not that high. But I think you know this. If he had knockout power, we might be talking about him in the same breath we talk about a Terrence Crawford, we talk about a Errol Spence Jr., even though they're bigger there at the welterweight division. I'm just talking about his boxing ability, his speed, his hand speed, the way he can move and be evasive at times. He seems to take punches a little bit too much at times, but that's when he knows that he has nothing to worry about with somebody. I marvel at the kid's skills. This kid Colbert is something special. I'm a huge fan of his, and I think he's going to make some noise in the future. I really do.
Well, Stephen A., we've done it all. We talked football, basketball, boxing. Stephen A. Smith, upcoming debut of Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+. Stephen A., is it fair to say Stephen A., like you haven't seen him before? Monday is the debut?
Well, I think in some respects, yes. You're always going to get some element of me that you've seen before. But there will be elements in the show that you'll be like, wow, I'm surprised he did that. You know, it'll be a little bit different. I can tell you that much.
Well, Well, look forward to our sparring session tomorrow, 10 a.m. And until then, thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, bro.
Stephen A. Smith, ladies and gentlemen, on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, helping you to discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I'll tell you what, this beats working for a living. Stealing money like this beats working for a living. Wake up in the morning, yell at Stephen A., get yelled at by Stephen A. for 2 hours. It's pretty good. So, Jerry Jones. Is this breaking news, Raj? Are we talking breaking news right now? Did this just happen?
It happened on his radio hit on 105.3.
Oh, this is the stuff right here. Okay. Right. Jerry Jones said on 105.3 The Fan that Dak is in a good position regarding his contract talks. I don't know how you could have any more leverage. Cowboys finished dead last. Well, that's not true. The Eagles finished last. His evolving into an NFL quarterback has been nothing short of a perfect picture. He has great ability, in my mind, to win games. He's talented. He certainly has the experiences and has all the things, which has been substantiated by what we've offered Dak. You wouldn't offer Dak what we've offered him in the past if you didn't think he was very special. The issue is how do you come together? And that's no stranger to me. I've been doing it all my life, putting things together. We got to get it together. Speaking of get it together, now that we're not doing the phone call, I can put my headphones back on and not have to hear echo anymore. Big audio problems today, ladies and gentlemen. Look, here's the bottom line about Dak Prescott. He gives you a premium over... I think Andy Dalton's a good backup. He gives you a real premium over Andy Dalton. I think it's pretty clear if Dak had been healthy, the Cowboys win the division. They still wouldn't have been any good. Maybe they would have gotten 8-8, but that would have been more than enough to get it done. And so, yes, Dak does have some leverage. But listen to what Jerry said. That's why we offered him the contract we did. Look, how'd the Carson Wentz contract work out for the Eagles? Because Wentz, Dak, and Goff, all in the same draft class, you know, Dak in the fourth round, those two guys, 1 and 2, Goff and Wentz. Goff got a big contract, and he might not start in the playoffs. I mean, like, he should. You imagine he would. But Wolford, I mean, look, McVay was asked point blank, who's starting? He wouldn't answer yesterday. And meantime, Carson Wentz is sitting on the bench, leaking to the press that it's irreparable between him and Doug Peterson, and has an immovable contract. What's hilarious, I don't know if it's Wentz doing this or the team. They're like, because Chris Mortensen reported, someone told Chris Mortensen, the Eagles are going to want a big haul for Carson Wentz. It's in both the team and Wentz's interests to have that out there, because it makes it seem as though Wentz has any value at all. If you're the team, you'd like to get out from under that contract. And if you're Wentz, you don't want to be perceived as, you know, a bum, right? You want to be perceived as a decent player. Meantime, that was a mistake to give Wentz the contract. It was a mistake to give Goff the contract. And so Dak was offered a contract in line with theirs. And by the way, based on the fact that he promptly got hurt, that would have been a mistake too. Best duo in the NBA? It's not LeBron and AD, according to net ratings.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Is there a better duo than LeBron and AD in the NBA? There's a statistic that says, yes, there is a better duo. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Is it LeBron and AD, best duo in the NBA? Not according to net rating. According to net rating, it's LeBron and Marc Gasol, who have a plus 28.3. Any two players in the league who've played at least 100 minutes together so far this season, that's per Laker film room. Anyway, Raj is now telling me to put my earpiece back in. Is that what you're telling me, Raj? Yeah? All right. Big thumbs up from Raj. This is the reality of doing remote stuff during COVID, everybody. There are technical issues from time to time. At any rate, at any
rate.
Max,
see, I want to give you credit because you are handling this
LeBron
well.
And Marc Gasol have the best net rating. What's that, Raj?
I said I want to give you credit because you are handling these technical difficulties well, but you still have this issue of following simple instructions. We just talked about this during the break. Leave those on so you won't hear yourself echoing.
Sorry,
and then
Raj,
you'll be
I'm
able to talk to me
show.
And other
I'm
people.
I'm sorry, Raj. I'm in the middle of... Raj, I'd love to talk to you about this, but I'm in the middle of a radio show right now. If you don't mind, we can do the show meeting afterward, if that's okay with you. Listen, Marc Gasol averages under 20 minutes a game, you know, around 20 minutes a game. And so the answer to who's the best duo in the league is going to be LeBron and whoever else LeBron is playing with if the guy is decent, right? I'll tell you, like, LeBron and AD are obviously the best one, too. Marc Gasol is a good passing, good defensive big who can still protect the rim and shoot. So he can do a lot of things that can help you, but at a certain level at this point in his career, he's going to do it, you know, IQ. That's a scary thing about LeBron. Like, if LeBron wanted to keep playing basketball, given his IQ, if Marc Gasol could, like, how long before LeBron's only as good as Marc Gasol? 10 more years? Like, could you imagine if LeBron played 30 years? If he were willing to be a role player eventually, and like a valuable one, he probably could. He's got the size for it. Anyway, if you look at the Sixers right now, when you look at, you know, the advanced metrics, especially defensively, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know how many guys are among the very best in the league defensively, according to the advanced metrics on the Sixers? Not just Embiid and Simmons. Shake Milton? How about this? Try this one. Everyone knows Thibault is a real good defensive player, and Tobias Harris isn't, right? Tobias Harris, one of the best players in the NBA this season. And you could talk about his offense, which has been outstanding, but honestly, his defense, I don't know if I can reveal the name. I don't know if I want to blast him. So I'll just say I spoke to someone who had coached Tobias Harris. And I said, well, look, at least he's versatile defensively. And they said, yeah, he can't guard all five positions. But he's been a good defensive player this year so far. When you're looking at duos, it's LeBron and AD, obviously. If you're looking at units right now, defensively, the Sixers unit, from what I've seen so far this year, that's going to be very, very tough. Take some calls. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Chris from Pennsylvania, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey,
I got you.
Hey, does Doug Peterson get? Did you think that the criticism of Doug Peterson comes from the fact that it was a standalone game and the whole world was watching? Because you know every team in the league does that. So the whole everybody in the league does that. So do you think it's only the criticism comes from the fact that it was a standalone Sunday night game where everybody was watching?
Yeah, I think that's the intensity of the criticism is because of that. That's true, because everyone was watching it. But I would also say that even if that had happened during the day, you know, and daytime, you know, in the 1 o'clock window or the late at the 4 o'clock window on the East Coast, it doesn't. Like, the issue was. It's one thing to say, hey, we want to rest guys, whatever, but you started Jalen Hurts, and he was giving you a chance to win the game. And in a one-score game, and I'm not even on Peterson for not kicking the field goal to tie it up, you had a whole quarter in front of you, plenty of time. Go for it. I'm not scared. I'm not one of these football, and I'm a Giants fan, so I wasn't second-guessing that, oh, you should have kicked the field goal. Nah, don't worry about the negative result. Don't let that make you scared. Play aggressively. Play to win. I'm okay with that. But to take Hurts out, and he wasn't playing well at that moment, but he was the only thing giving you a chance to win. And also, he's the guy you need to know about, right? You got to know about Hurts. Can he get you a win in prime time against a divisional rival who's gunning for the playoffs, right? Like, can he do that? That tells you something. Seeing your third stringer not being able to handle the snap and throwing an interception, well, you didn't know that already about that guy? Come on. There was real, like you say, every team does that. Any team that did that in those circumstances with a play. But the fact is, it's not just like, well, it's a standalone game, so everyone was watching. Why was it the standalone game? It was flexed to primetime. It wasn't originally scheduled for primetime. The NFL flexed it to primetime so everyone would pay attention because the division was on the line. So the answer to your question is yes, absolutely. Peterson's getting more flack because it was in primetime. But then you have to ask yourself, why was it flexed there? Let's see. Eric in San Diego, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Because San Diego Charger fans know that the reason that Jason Garrett has been contacted is because that is not a good job in the NFL. Eric Bieniemy, being a former Charger, is and should be the next coach of the San Diego or the Los Angeles Chargers. Forgive me. The Spanos family, they do metal. The Los Angeles Chargers have no fan base. Once that team goes back to San Diego, they will have the support that they need to once again be a formidable team in the AFC West.
Wait, who am I talking to again?
The enemy, though, is just holding the seat for Philip Rivers for when he decides to coach. I just want to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Who is this caller? This was Eric from San Diego. Eric, let's be honest. Let's be honest about this. The San Diego Chargers don't have a huge fan base in San Diego either. San Diego, a beautiful place, but it's a transient town, a military town in many respects. And a lot of times you go to a Chargers game when they were in San Diego and a lot of fans from other teams would show up. And so Spanos, yeah, they're cheap and by owner standards they're poor, but you can't cry poverty if you're a billionaire. I mean, if the other NFL owners are too rich from you, sell your team. It's worth a lot of money. Sell the team. Oh, no, you want to be an owner? Okay, then shut up about how, you know, whoever has, it doesn't have to be Kroenke, anyone has more money than you. That's ridiculous. But you're right that Spanos is not, like, the Chargers' job as a result of ownership is not as attractive as it ought to be. But I actually think in many respects, the fact that they're not as popular in L.A. makes it a better job. It's all upside. Imagine coaching in the market. It's the second biggest market, and it's a good weather market, L.A. And it's, you know, the market through which we export our number one export in this country, which is our culture around the world. L.A. is the sexiest market, right? And you're not only not the second most popular team in town, you're not even the third. Trojans are more popular than you, Rams are more popular than you, and in L.A., the Raiders are still more popular than you. But you have a great young quarterback, and it's all upside. And low pressure somehow? That's an awesome job to me. I hear what you're saying. You're right. Was that Eric in San Diego? You're right. I don't think going back to San Diego helps, but I do think that the Chargers is not as attractive a job as it ought to be around the league, because to me it's the number one job right now because of Justin Herbert. Cam still a starter? Last Take is next. Tune in tonight for complete coverage of the 2020 Heisman Ceremony. The finalists are Alabama quarterback Mac Jones, Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith, and Florida quarterback Kyle Trask. Before the ceremony, Trevor Lawrence will join Shanae Ngolit Jr. at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by Kyle Trask at 5:45 p.m. Complete coverage of the Heisman Ceremony starts tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Cam's still a starter. Last Take next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
You know what I'm going to tell you before I'm doing Last Take? You like this idea for a segment on the boxing show, Raj? Ready for this? I'm going to have fighters. I'm going to start beefs. Fighters are going to send in short videos calling out other top fighters just from their phones. I'll throw it right up there on the show.
Starting beef? What do you call it?
What's
beef?
All right.
Oh, I like it.
We'll figure that out. Look, should Cam get another shot as a starter is the question. In his first three games as a Patriot, Cam Newton was 62-91. Now, I wasn't a math major, but that seems to me about two-thirds of his passes. That's 67%. 714 yards with a completion rate, of 68.1%. Two TDs, two interceptions. And by the way, remember that shootout with the Seahawks? He looked like an MVP candidate to me. On the ground, he carried the ball 35 times for 149 yards, four touchdowns. New England was 2-1. Remember, only a goal line stand by Bobby Wagner, one of the best in the business, stopped them from being 3-0 with a win over Seattle. And they'd already beaten the Dolphins. And then they beat the Raiders. It's almost an undefeated stretch. After COVID, then he got COVID, right? And they lost to the Chiefs. And when he came back, he didn't look the same. Remember, they had to close down the facilities. They couldn't practice. But also, Cam clearly wasn't the same. Belichick had to go over and pat him on the back at one time. Remember that? Everyone's like, that's not like Belichick. Because he knew the man was playing with a problem. Anyway, after COVID, he went on to throw for less than 100 yards four times. He finished the season with 2,657 yards, which is 24th in the league, 8 TDs, 33rd. That's not a starter, only 32 starting jobs. 10 interceptions, tied for 18th in the league. A QBR of 47.4, that's 30th in the league. On the ground, he had 592 yards, 12 TDs, and fumbled six times. Do you understand, though? Those are subpar, those are not starter numbers. However, it takes you a year to get back from a catastrophic injury, and then a year, many of them, including Cam's, and then usually a year to get back to where you were. So he's not supposed to be what he was yet. But on top of that, he had no offensive weapons. He had to learn a whole new system, new coach. The first time in his professional career, he wasn't on the Panthers. He had to follow Tom Brady, who was not nearly as good as he was this year, last year, given the weapons he had. And then he got COVID. So they couldn't practice with his new teammates. They couldn't practice preseason. They couldn't practice during the season. And then Cam was feeling the lingering effects of COVID, which I mentioned on the air several times, it seemed to me. Like, something's off with Cam. I wonder if there are lingering COVID effects. And then Cam referenced it weeks later when asked about it and said, yeah, he didn't feel right. You could say I'm making excuses for Cam Newton. Bottom line is, even with all of that said, he went 7-9. And if not for that goal line stand by Bobby Wagner and then the strip against the Bills, he'd have been 9-7. Did Cam prove he's a starter this year? No, he didn't. But he didn't disqualify himself as one either. To me, the jury is still out. And if I were a head coach and I needed a quarterback, I'd be thrilled to get Cam Newton. I think he's still a starter. I think the evidence suggests, my educated guess, is he's still a starter. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. See you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.